Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And I don't wear the headphones anymore. I forgot. I don't wear those anymore. I'm done with them. All right? And all alongside right. me, in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is the CFO of my company, the co-host, my best friend, Melissa Nickerson, who is here to see if you would like your unlimited breadsticks refilled.
Hey there.
Do you guys want to see a little show business or a little movie magic? She has clipped her shirt.
Yeah, I did.
The show's the clip. Oh, yeah. Mel's clipped. Mel's hooked to the wall.
We need some more Parmesan, though.
Yes.
Fresh.
Say when. Never. I will never say when.
Yes. Well, I do think this needs like a little bolo or like a little tie.
Like
right
a cowboy
here.
Bolo?
It like needs, one of the, yeah, like yeah? another element.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, it doesn't even fit me, so.
Well, you have great hair. That can do it.
No, I just like a tie.
Yeah, you two share that in common. You think about how does this shirt work with my hair?
That's true.
I know a lot of colors get lost because of my hair.
Yeah, no, I don't have that problem.
Yeah.
No, I had a I have a yearly tradition on Father's Day of posting my dad bod joke, which is a mistake. It always does well. It's a classic joke. I re-recorded the joke recently because the first time, here's a little Dustin's Comedy Corner nobody asked for. The only time I had ever really recorded, well, I have two previous recordings of Dad Bod. Mm-hmm. One is at Comedy Works years ago, opening for John Crist at the Comedy Works, who I watched his Tonight Show set, murdered. He was so good. I was crushed on it.
Awesome.
I mean, John crushes so hard. Not surprising at all. But and that was like old and grainy. And then I did it on Overwhelmed, which I'm very proud of Overwhelmed, but it's very much a time capsule special, which is like people are in masks, they're getting their temperatures taken. It's a COVID special.
Yeah.
It's outside, everyone's spread out.
It's 2020.
Yeah. So the dad bod joke, which does great in the room, it's literally audio, it cuts to people in masks, which at this point is a distraction on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
It's a hot topic.
It's a hot topic, So I don't regret it in any way whatsoever. But it is like, it's a time capsule when you watch it.
Yes.
But so I re-recorded it recently and I was like,
where?
At Comedy Magic.
Okay.
The clip I posted was at Comedy Magic up in Hermosa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ironically, I am in like a little better shape than I have been previously in telling of these jokes.
Sure.
But I don't dress. You don't really.
You're not a swimsuit.
Yeah. Then the clip would have done really well.
Yeah.
The thing about the way I dress is it kind of, whatever shape I'm in doesn't really affect it a lot. But the, on stage at least. But all that to say, so what these fragile little males did who are going, who as I always tell, have not found a workout to develop thicker skin and are taking it exceedingly personal, what they are attacking is my hairline.
Which is so funny because in middle school roasting, that was the joke like 5 years ago. Every other word, bro, your hairline.
Your hairline,
stop.
Yeah. Which is hilarious to think about youth saying that. But somebody said, I said, find a workout for thicker skin. And he said, find a workout for a better hairline. I was like, ooh. That one got me.
And that's why it's fun to be on the internet on Father's Day.
It felt like Mulaney's old bit. That's the thing I'm sensitive about. Look at that man in his high hips or high waist or whatever it may be.
Super dumb.
But as I was out with Steve Rogers this week, as Steve said, he's like, He was telling me watching the clips and reading the comments. He goes, why are you doing this to yourself? And I laughed. He goes, you are right. And I told you my friend Ryan said this years ago. He goes, like, you're not a comedian to them. You're just a character in their phone. And that is so correct. That's a great way to think about content. Like, you and I are characters in people's phone. and they're just scrolling, and the next thing they see is the zoo's red pandas, and then the next thing they do is a drunk woman falling off a boat, and I don't know, what's in your guys' feeds?
I saw that one you're referring to
yesterday. And the next one you're seeing is like a viral 10-year-old ballerina or something, I don't know, like, it's the internet.
All in like 10-second dosages.
Yeah. And they just pan to a guy going, hey, if you're in good shape, you're a bad father. They're like, geez, man. Like, all right, that's fair. I am calling you a bad father. I'm making more assumptions about you than you are me. So anyways.
Sure.
That's what I did on Father's Day.
Yeah, as you
want to know. Yeah.
Is this a weekend recap?
Weekend recap. Was that one on purpose?
Yeah,
weekend recap. Well, I don't know. Is my content not good enough for you right now, Mel?
No, you just kind of like parlayed it to me, and I was like, we were kind of like, we're not going to talk that much about this weekend. And then I was like, what? Wait, which one?
Today's Melissa and Dustin's Don't Make Me Come Back. Here's, I think, first ever male grab bag. We have mailbag or grab bag.
Male grab bag.
Not, never together.
Yeah. A spirits and a liquor and spirits place downstairs near here. And I went in yesterday and there's like a 20-year-old kid and I'm looking for some wine. I go, do you have any Malbecs? And he goes, a mall bag? Yeah, we got those. I'm like, what? I go, do you have any Malbecs? He goes, yeah, like a mall bag. And I'm like,
like a plastic bag.
And then the owner goes, yeah, we have two over here, and like takes me to the Malbecs. And I've been thinking about this conversation. I was like, first off, why would I have ever said mall bag?
Yeah.
Second off, you had them? What is a mall bag? You know what I mean? Like,
I think this is just when you have an associate out front who just says like yes to everything.
Yeah.
But doesn't know anything.
Well, I got Melissa crying, laughing, watching some Tim Dillon last night and talking about Gen Z realizing it's a scam and putting in the absolute minimal workforce they can and just doing enough to not get fired and making excuses for not showing up. It was incredible. And he goes, and I applaud them for it. It's great.
Funny.
So, yeah. But what we're going to do is our mailbag, not Malbec. Mm-hmm. Not grab bag, not mail grab bag, not grab a mail bag.
Correct.
Mail bag. But before that, we'll do a little Father's Day recap.
All right.
In the next episode, I'll do a weekend recap because people, just so you know, I feel like I'm coming in too hot. I feel like I'm overwhelming you. Because you're just kind of looking at me like this.
No, I just, you know, I just performed. I just did BTS.
That's
with
true.
Andy.
That's true.
So look at my outfit. This is a performer's outfit.
Yeah.
A couple things I said that need to get cut, and I'm thinking, did I tell Andy to cut them?
So you're not, you haven't arrived at this episode yet, mentally.
I am, I'm filing what I just did.
You are dressed for dinner theater.
I just need a vest. Another piece.
You wear the vest when you're serving, and then you take the vest off for the show when you go up. You know, like that, what's the bar in New York where the...
Starlight,
something like that, they're the servers and they sing.
Oh,
yeah. But it's all Broadway, and they're incredible.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's next to Broadway. It's just on the corner of Broadway. They get on the booths and like perform and stuff.
Yeah.
With a hat and a scarf, it could also be pirate show. Like pirate dinner.
I'm right there.
Yeah. You could go any direction with dinner.
This is a good base element.
Have you ever taken your kids to what's the jousting
dinner
one?
Medieval times.
Yeah, never gone. Have you? You grew up in the OC.
Oh, yeah, totally. Medieval times is synonymous with, you know.
Is that where the OG one is? That one right by Disney?
Yeah, Buena Park. Next to Knott's Berry Farm.
Is that the first one?
Yeah,
Knott's Berry. Sorry, yeah.
So they have...
And the pirate
show.
They also have a pirate show. Which used to be Buffalo Bills, which was the Buffalo Bills show before it was the pirate show.
This is
Buena Park.
Dollywood, like they also have a dinner theater, same idea, but like Southern.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had the various...
Medieval times is all time. Okay. I mean, it is incredible.
Let me throw this to the Facebook group, Dustin Nickerson Comedy Facebook fans there. Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans is the name of the Facebook group. And shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. And then I want your take on this, Andy, because I have wanted to do this for a long time. A long time. However, we've only been at a point in our career where we would pay for something like that in the last 72 months.
This is a lot like skiing, where you're like, let's do it. And then you multiply it times five. And then you're like, let's not do it.
Yeah.
See also Disney.
Well, that's a, Melissa, that... You ever reach, at a certain point as a parent, you just look at your finances and you go to your kids like, you're not going to learn how to ski from me. Yeah. And I know I had that joke about it, but like, you're just, it's not in the cards because it's not a one-time thing you learn how to ski.
Our son missed one wrestling tournament in high school. I said, we're like, do you want to do this? The youth group is doing a day of snowboarding. This will be your one chance to snowboard.
Yeah, this is your day.
And you're going to miss this wrestling tournament. Do you want to, this is it. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
And he did. He had one day of snowboarding.
Right.
Yep.
And he wanted to do it more, and you're like, I'm sorry, we're not the family for this. Dad works weekends. You need a parent to ski. That was really the heart of that old joke. It's like, you need the financials, and you just need to be able to do it, like, time-wise. Yeah. But, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we were talking about surfing. Mm. And we, during the pandemic, our kids did a surf camp with friends. But there were so many jellyfish in the water. Like, so many.
Yeah.
That everyone got stung and nobody wanted to surf.
And you're like, that bites back.
That was it.
Yeah, like, that doesn't come up in the Beach Boys song.
Sure doesn't.
R.I.P. Brian Wilson. What a legend.
Legend.
Yeah.
The point being, you're like, well, that was your opportunity to surf, and you know, that was your opportunity to ski.
Yeah,
sorry. Or go to medieval times. I feel like we've missed the window to, you know.
Yeah, well, that's
Andy,
what I want
to differ.
Well,
oh yeah,
it's gonna say, so that's what I want to hear from the people. Like, what's the ideal age group, and would teens still be into it, and would a teenage you be into it given that you had the internet to compete with? Because did medieval times, did it exist because we didn't have as much good entertainment back in the day? Or tell me, just pitch me, or tell me whether or not you know our family.
Yeah. Medieval times is like the precipice of novelty entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get that anywhere. Like, you can't, you know, it's like you can't, where you're going to watch, like, people act like knights and get on horses in front of you and joust to the, you know, fictional death,
right,
so to speak.
Sure.
But it's like, for those of us who grew up in this, like, it is like youth group energy for adults.
Okay.
I mean, it is like,
because
they split the crowd. Here's like, team blue. Here's red. Here's green. Here's yellow. And you're cheering for your team. And the entertainers are so entertaining.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Monster Jam, but medieval.
Yeah. And it's
what?
No, it works.
They should have a medieval Monster Jam.
Yeah.
Just horses out there.
Yeah.
Like, watching a medieval battle. That's,
I'm into it.
That's right there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, don't go in thinking the food is going to be awesome. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. But it's, again, it requires the parents to be like all in. So don't go thinking, oh, I'm going to get this for my kids to be entertained. They're going to be, unless they're younger. For teens, like, you got to be like, maybe already have that high energy connection with your teens, where they're just gonna like doing it with you.
Yeah,
that would be my expectation. But if you've got, you can't rely on that to entertain teens if you're not that exciting of a parent, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, and everything you just said makes it very clear we've missed the window.
one of my friends,
I couldn't get my son to come to a Father's Day dinner.
One of my friend's kids,
unless you cable guide it and you somehow pulled him into it, then that would be
like, I was in it.
Yeah.
What were you saying, your friend?
I don't know if you remember being 18.
Yeah. I'd rather not. Well, I believe I was in premarital counseling. You know, because as a Christian, I believe love is patient. So I got married at 19. Not literally patient. I'm not literally. I'm actually quite impatient. I'm not willing to wait.
Love is impatient.
I'm not willing for my age to start with a two.
This should have been our wedding vows.
How has there not been a... Oh, you tell your one of your friend's story, and then let me come back to this.
Okay, so I think the window is like second, third, fourth grade. The best window for medieval times.
Because, I think middle school's great.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a middle schooler yet?
Yes.
Do they have a...
Sunflower.
Sunflower.
Yeah. Okay, wait till your boys are in middle school.
Yeah. A little more jaded.
Our youngest is a middle schooler now.
Yeah.
She just finished fifth grade. So so what they did is they took their son up to medieval times. He was able to bring a friend, and it was like his birthday.
Yeah.
You know, so they get the mug, they get the photo, like the whole thing. So I think that was the way to do it, or one of the ways to do it, because inevitably you're paying for like four people, which is very much more affordable than five and no friends. A lot of times to get a kid's buy-in, the friend is the, you can bring a friend.
Yeah, of course. Man, that's like, the key. That's a good point. That would be the way to do it.
In like a family event. But,
well.
But anyway, I'm glad you have those memories.
Yeah.
They have one in Vegas as well. But,
I mean,
you know, we just missed it. You know, you can't catch everything.
We were so bored back in the day. You're always looking for things to do. Remember when we would go see improv? We were bored, man. We were bored. We were looking for anything to do. Like, oh my gosh, they thought of a thing fast.
Thing fast. Oh.
A thing. Yeah.
Yourself. I was very happy with my scrapbooking.
That's true. That's very true.
The one caveat is that Mercedes and I did go to medieval times when we were dating, but she's actually like allergic to hay. So,
oh, that's hilarious.
Whoa.
So we've got pictures of like our picture, her face is like all buffed out. And the whole time she was like coughing and just slamming Pepsi, trying to like just go along with the date.
If not allergic, I could see medieval times being a funny, creative date. That's a funny, you know.
Yeah. If you have a playful date, that could be super fun.
Yeah.
It's falling in the lines of like Rainforest Cafe, and that you're like, do you want to eat here, but also feel like you're in the rainforest?
Well, I'll put a button on this little thing. I can tell you this as a parent of three of them. When something is advertised as fun for the whole family, what they mean is fun for everyone except the teenager.
Yes.
That's all that means. Like, hey, the teen will maybe come along. They're not going to be happy, but... maybe the teen can tolerate it, and then therefore maybe you can tolerate the teen. But the reality is, if it is not them hanging out with their friends, it's not fun for the teen. There's nothing that's fun for that teenager other than being away from you and hanging out with their friends. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Yours is sad. No, that's the right way to
I know. It's very hard to find an interest that your teen's into that you can meet them in.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going to be medieval times.
It's probably not, no.
That should be the slogan, the medieval times. It's like, probably not for teenagers, unless you let them bring a friend. And they can side-eye you the whole time.
Yeah. I don't want to be the same color as you. If you're green team, I'm blue team. I don't want to be on the same team as you.
They should just take all the teens that come in and just corral them to their own team.
Brilliant.
And just create that competition.
Make
them like the gray or like dark magic.
And let them
team.
Win so they think they're winning every time. But you're like, well, I'm winning because you're happy. That's the only actual winning that's happening here.
Like,
so
my parents.
Yeah, if you're on
band them together and watch how much they hate everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that if you're like anyone who's unsure about if you're unsure about like fun for the whole family, if whether or not that actually will be, all you need to do is go watch someone who has taken their kids to DC. DC is like pitched as like the great take your teens town.
It's very educational.
And it's terrible. They're miserable. Mm-hmm. Like they'll like the spy museum. They probably won't. They'll like a little bit of it. But mostly they're gonna be on their phone and they're gonna be sending Snapchats of like
like, look at my mom.
Yeah, yeah. Mom took me to the stupid museum.
Can we go?
And then they're gonna be, and then you're gonna be like learning about something. You're gonna be staring at this like unbelievable painting that you'd never seen before, and your teenager is taking the most unflattering picture of you.
Yeah,
and sending it to 11 peers of theirs. And you're like, cool, thanks. I mean, my daughter, my kids, okay, so we'll talk a little bit Father's Day, then we'll get into the grab bag here. I keep calling it a grab bag. Mailbag. You know, a grab bag.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like grab. a tote bag. merch bag.
It's fine.
Swag bag.
Swag bag.
There we go. Go ahead. I had to find it.
Yeah, you did. Well, this was my first Father's Day with kids who have social media, so they did posts, and it was nice. It was actually kind of nice. Now, my daughter posted a terribly unflattering picture of me.
Sure.
Because it's not about you, and it is and it isn't, right? But it was like shirtless from about 14 years ago. I believe we had just moved from Seattle, so I was...
But you were spinning her over the ocean. You know,
I mean, when you take someone from Seattle and put them in
San Diego
in ocean waters, we are the same color as the jellyfish.
Yes.
Like I am invisible.
Well, you also have like, you remember cargo shorts, like huge ones?
Yes.
You have the hugest shorts on.
That I'm so positive were thrifted.
Yes.
And but she posted it was a nice thing. And then Joel posted, which was nice, some more modern pictures. And then
Claire texted you.
Claire like sent me a nice text. Yeah.
Nice text.
Yeah, I'll just read it.
You were working on Father's Day.
Yeah.
And that happens.
It does happen.
In the biz.
This is good. I'll show you guys. This is what modern... this is what like
your 11-year-old.
This is what modern Father's Day looks like. I get a text from my daughter that goes,
She wakes up first.
Yes.
Yeah.
She goes, "You are such a W father, and it's sad you're not here for your own holiday and your awesome sauce. So today's your day. Take pride in it. Love ya, Claire." And then
that was probably said at like 7 a.m.
Yeah,
Sunday morning.
Yeah, first thing she did, and then. Gloria posted a picture of me, and then Joel just posted a picture of me that said, "Happy day to the goat."
Yeah.
Because this is what modern Father's Day looks like, you know?
Did you take a picture of that or screenshot it?
I did screenshot it. No, it felt nice. It felt, I know that language. I'm on the old internet. And then you went with them. Well, that was the funny thing. Gloria was like, "I'm trying to convince mom to take us to World Cost or World Market or whatever it's called and to get you some stuff." And I was like, "Okay, so I'm buying my Father's Day gift." And so just to be clear, you want to get me something for Father's Day, which means mom is going to drive you to a store, help you pick out the items.
Buy the items
with the money I'm out earning right now. Yes. Mm-hmm. You'll come home and wrap the items, and then I'll come home and receive them. So it was actually a great Father's Day, and I felt very loved and appreciated on the day after.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's do our mailbag. also a lot of you guys have been leaving reviews. Thank you. We appreciate that. So, okay. So this right here is from Nicole.
All right, Nicole.
Subject: growing up military episode. "Hi there. I went to your comedy show in La Jolla in January, but just discovered your podcast this week." That's awesome. "I'm dying over this episode while I'm putting color-coded stickers on the boxes for our final military move. They packed my daughter's cap and gown for graduation next week." "The pour over dripper, but not the rest of the coffee stuff. And I narrowly saved my 12-year-old's makeup bag from being packed. I relate to everything being mentioned so far. It's just what I needed in a stressful time. Thanks for the laughs. So that's similar to you, right? Moving right after a grad day.
Yep. They packed my graduation dress that was hanging on the closet
door. Oh, that's right. I remember that. And you had to like get it out or something, right?
Well, there's no getting it out.
Yeah.
That dress was gone. I borrowed a friend's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what I wore, but it didn't matter. But,
man.
But
well.
Yeah, you can't. Nothing is safe in the house. Like, if you want to keep something, you got to put it like in your car.
Do a lot of military families move in June? Is that like a?
I think it's pretty common to move because of the school year. We certainly did move in the middle of the school year as well. Mm-hmm. But in general, a lot of people move over the summer.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I guess that's nice. As far as I know, it's not nice to move during the summer. It's nice not to interrupt in the school. I mean, I don't need to.
I don't know.
I don't need a silver lining this at all. Yeah, it's brutal. Such a sacrifice.
I do think. I mean, I've lived all of it. I think it can be nice to move over the summer because you have a couple months to try and meet some people.
Yeah.
Before the first day of school.
Yeah.
And everyone is kind of starting on the first day of school, but you're like starting your life over.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. But then the mid-year move, you get a little more attention when you leave because everyone else isn't leaving.
Yeah.
And then you come in, it's a bit abrasive to come in mid-year. But you also kind of fit in more.
Yeah, that's
quicker.
I mean, that's a unique thing that you've experienced that I haven't, but you had a couple of these times, but you forget that at the end of every school year, there's a couple families leaving this summer.
1,000%. Yeah, I was just talking to a mom, like, two of her kids' best friends are moving. And I think sometimes when you live in, like, a city or like, an expensive area of cost of living, it's more common, you know, like, people have to, you know, move
to it. It also happens a lot when you live in a military city.
Cheaper state or, so... Joel had a friend move away and it was like so sad for him because it wasn't the time in our life. We were so busy that we like didn't get a phone number or an email and you know, so like we didn't have that connection at all. Like that kid just moved away and we were like, he was little. We were like, I'm so sorry.
When you make friends growing up as a military family, is there part of you that's like, let's not get too close? You know.
No, actually, you just go all in quicker.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I guess that's why we got married so quick.
Well, there's just
it's
not
like,
a...
Man, she's really getting deep pretty...
There's not a filter because you're like, we don't have time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have time to get to know one another.
No pleasantries. Let's just tell me your life story.
Listen, this could end quick.
We gotta... Well... That's certainly true of military relationships, kind of, that there is a stereotype there as well. Like, let's take our time. You're like, my ship is literally leaving the harbor.
Yeah.
Not metaphorically. The ship I live on is leaving.
I know. We actually we have some military friends that are going to move soon, and I was like, ah.
Yeah.
That's... Like you don't.
It's hard for you to find the funny in this, and I respect that.
Like, bristling a bit, but it's a unique way of living.
Yeah,
and it definitely shapes you and your relationships.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
it's a lot of transitions.
I'm glad you saved the makeup bag. You wanna make? I know your teenage.
I know a 12-15 year old's makeup bag.
Whew, yeah,
that's brutal. So funny, we were cleaning up that fifth grade party last night, and it was at a pizza place, and there was a cracked iPhone and a little purse with like a gold, a piece of pizza, a water cup, a cracked iPhone, a purse.
Yeah.
And we were like, no, they're coming back.
Yeah.
Like that is definitely.
Do you think they're going to forget that?
That's an adult. They sat down. They're coming back. Don't bust their table. And then sure enough, it was a fifth grader who left her phone.
Yep.
Had a purse full of chapstick and stickers and didn't eat.
Yeah.
She had left everything.
Well, you were right there. You're like, that's a fifth grade phone. Like, it's like you give your kid the worst possible phone imaginable. So
it was just very, it's just very funny.
Yeah. Can you pull up my dates, by the way, since she mentioned the La Jolla days? So I forgot to plug these. So upcoming tour dates this weekend, I'm at the Comedy Connection in Providence, Rhode Island. I've been to Providence once before. I have not been back since. I'm looking forward to it. Next weekend, I'm at the Parkway Theater in Minneapolis. It's almost sold out. If you're thinking about going, go and get tickets now. And then we go to Eau Claire and Petoskey, Michigan that weekend. In July, I'm in Mobile, New Orleans, San Antonio, Pottstown, PA, Richmond, Asheville. We just added Asheville. Greenville, South Carolina. Madison, Wisconsin. This is summer and beyond. Madison, Charlotte, Stamford, Murray, Connecticut, Boston, Massachusetts. We just added
Murray, Kentucky, but
sorry, whatever. Murray, Kentucky. What did I say?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Good catch. Yeah. Stamford, Connecticut, Murray, Kentucky. We just added this on sale. Bay Area, October 9th through 11th. San Francisco, the Punchline, downtown, Battery Street. Love that place so much. Kansas City, Seattle, Corvallis, Oregon, Nashville, San Diego, Tulsa. Oh, yeah, if you saw me in San Diego, that's what reminded me. I'm going to be back there. That's Thanksgiving weekend, the Friday through Sunday, 11/28 through 30 at Mic Drop Comedy Club in San Diego. Tulsa, OKC, Brooklyn, New York, New Brunswick at Melissa's home, the Stress Factory. Dallas, Houston. Check it out. All right, let's do the next. This is actually a DM I got when I want to answer. This is from Nicole Dean.
Okay.
Hey, Melissa. Love. Did I get this or did you get this?
I guess I got it.
Yeah. Love your podcast. Could I get some cross-country mom advice? My 10-year-old just tried out for the team for the very first time and never ran a mile before. He came in last with a 12:30. Now he's super discouraged. Should he still do it? Is that a bad time?
All right.
I would like to speak to this as well, and I would like you to. You want me to go first? I have an immediate thought.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
The immediate thought is running a mile is exceedingly hard to pace.
Yeah.
So if you got a time like a 12:30 and that 12-year-old felt like I went the same pace as long as I could and that's as fast as I can go, then maybe it isn't the sport for them. However, if they like went out way too fast and then had to go really slow or walk for a while, they just don't know how to run the race yet.
Yeah.
Because the mile is very tricky in that regard that you, I mean, in lower levels of track and cross country, and even sometimes at the higher levels, and we all remember this in like PE or like when you're, I mean, we go out to, there's always like a kid that goes out super fast or runs too fast early or has way too much at the end. Like they're sprinting for the last 100 yards. They're like, well, you didn't pace the race correct.
You had too much energy. Yeah, you saved too much.
Yeah. Like so. If you see someone full sprinting as fast as they can go at the end of the race, you're like, you didn't run this race correctly. So they might, the time is, I would say, is less important than how did they run it? How did they feel? How did they pace it? You know, a little bit of coaching would probably be like, hey, you actually got to go like your half speed or whatever the number is for a while.
If your kid sticks with it, they're going to learn through like track workouts and stuff, like how to, like you said, like, okay, like, so if you ran 3 minutes a lap, you know, like how to find that and then sustain it
for
a mile. So the good thing with a slow first time is that
gonna get better.
It's probably gonna improve.
Yeah.
And seeing improvement like with like swimming or any sort of like race-based sport can be really exciting to get a personal record and improve.
Yeah.
So and now do they want to do the workouts? Do they connect with the team? Do they like racing? Those are a bunch of different elements. In general, I did like one race in elementary school, maybe two. Maybe like a, we had middle school track, but our kids don't have middle school track. So I think the more sports and activities your kids can be exposed to, like the better, if possible, just because they don't need to pick their sport. you know, for the rest of their lives. It could just be a season.
You're right, though. The results are very motivating. That's true of almost anything in life. And
or like a medal. Or
And you know, if you really want your kid to be on a team, track is no cut. So keep that in mind.
There's just so many options out there, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so if they don't want to go to practice, like, maybe they just do a season and then they try something else.
Track is no cut. Just keep in mind.
Also,
if you want to be on the track team, you are on the track team.
Same thing as taking your teen to medieval times. Try and get a friend.
Try and get a friend
on the track team.
Yeah.
Also, sports track has a lot of different events.
Mm-hmm.
So they could try some jumps or throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't recommend hurdles. That's that one hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't start with
pole
vault.
That hurts a lot.
You know. All right. This one is from Dame. This is a Facebook comment. Dustin, this is a couple weeks late.
Sure.
MLB rivalry. I've always struggled with that word. Rivalry weekend.
That's a tough word.
The MLB is still forcing San Diego and the Mariners to be so-called rivals. Thoughts? Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this. As a Mariners fan who lives in San Diego, they are no way whatsoever rivals. There's no bad blood. There's no ill will. As a Mariner fan who lives in San Diego, when people find out I'm a Mariners fan, I wear a Mariners hat, they go, oh, cool, that's what's up. Cool, man. Oh, you're from Seattle? Oh, that's cool, man. You know. If I wore a Dodgers hat, that'd be a different thing. If I had a Giants hat, that would be a different thing. So those are their rivals. If I wore a Mariners hat in Houston, it would have much different energy as well. The only rival that the Mariners have, as far as I mean, we obviously have the A's and the Angels and the AL West as well. But the only big one they feel is the Astros. And I don't even know if the Astros feel it because they beat us a lot. So, yeah, that's a quick answer.
It's amicable.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll just tell you this. Mm-hmm. So they added the Vetter Cup. The Vetter Cup is the Eddie Vetter Cup. It's like we play five games a year now against each other, and whoever wins three of the five wins the Vetter Cup.
That's nice.
Because he has ties to both the cities. So, and the Seattle Mariners already won it because they won the first three games. So that's something. Thanks. But that's like, clear, you're forcing the issue. They're like, hey, they don't hate each other enough, so everyone likes Pearl Jam, though, right?
Everyone's like, okay.
Everyone in those two cities does, because everyone in this city is a 40-year-old dad like me, so
sure.
I feel very alive here. So, all right. Yeah. Sorry. That one was a... all right.
Is that your Uber?
Yes, you did it. You got it. I was waiting for someone to get it. Sorry, my ride's here. all right, this is from Josh. Subject,
all right, Josh.
Doubling up Mother's Day with a birthday. Hey, Dustin and Melissa. Love the podcast. Came to find out about you catching Dustin's clips on IG a few years ago. His Seattle sports team's attire always caught my attention as I'm a Seattle area native. And after living in Orange County with my SoCal wife for 10 years, we first saw Dustin at the Irvine. We made our way to Spokane to raise our two young kids.
Love that.
You made a comment in the last pod that caught my attention, that Dustin's dad's birthday fell on Mother's Day. I can relate to that as well, but it gets crazier than just that. My birthday's on May 4th. My dad's birthday's on May 13th. His dad's birthday's on May 11th. This sounds familiar, Melissa. My mom's birthday is May 10th. She's no longer with RIP. As you can imagine, every few years we would have to jointly celebrate a family birthday with Mother's Day. And as I got older, I didn't really have the typical kids party anymore. And I would also jointly celebrate my birthday with my dad and my granddad as well. Fast forward to being married with two kids. In addition to my wife now being honored on Mother's Day, her birthday is also May 25th. And let's also add her sister's spouse as a birthday on May 12th. There's also some auxiliary extended family members on the 13th, same as my dad, and the 14th. Needless to say, an already busy birthday / Mother's Day month in my family got exponentially busier with the families I married into, as well as becoming parents. Every weekend in May is now filled with either a birthday or a Mother's Day celebration, oftentimes celebrating the multiple birthdays and my mom at the same time of year. I would love to hear if anyone else out there can beat this in this craziness. My kids are only 5 and 2, but listening to your stories about the kids getting older and having end of school year events, I'm imagining the already busy month of May will only get crazier as our kids get older. Enjoy this moment of your life you are in. Can't wait for you to make a boat to Spokane eventually. And go Dogs. Go Dogs. Much love, Josh from Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your family is very busy in May and is really busy with each other in July, it sounds like.
I know, I'm like 9 months. I can't do the math.
Right? I mean, is that right? Yeah.
April, March.
Well, if that's the fifth month, then 4 months before that.
Yeah, again, I got my fingers out.
Yeah. It's like, you guys...
Take it easy in July.
Really, you guys, love the summer.
You guys have a lot of great summer vacations. Every anniversary trip. Well, it happened again. That's very funny. I mean, that's insane. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I can't even. Being a little kid, you ever remember being a kid and having to share your birthday or something with a grandpa or a mom? And you're like, this stinks.
Yeah. I mean, usually it's like a shared cake, right?
Which, like, the grandpa chose. So you're like, nobody likes German chocolate.
It's a 2-for-1.
Your grandparents, you know? Love, they're getting the oldest cookies you've ever seen. Are these Danish?
It's a, you dip it in coffee.
Yeah.
Why does it have the term bread in it?
Yeah.
It's dry for a reason.
Parties are
shared.
Yeah,
grandparent.
Yeah, grandparent birthday parties are so confusing when you're a little kid because you hear party and you're like, yes. And then you get there and you're like, I hate this food. I hate these cakes. I hate these drinks. Like, what do you mean I'm not allowed to have any of the drinks that are here? They're like, well, there's orange juice. We're using it as a mixer. But you can have some orange juice. Very confusing. Well, my heart goes out to you.
It's funny because you actually had a grandpa who had like a real birthday party.
Well,
you know,
yeah, and he had German chocolate.
Yeah,
it was his favorite.
Mid July birthday.
Yeah,
so it was a good time to get together.
Yes.
So he kind of lucked out.
Well, it was great. Yeah,
and he had like the place to host. So
yeah, there would be just enormous amounts of liquor put out
on the hot tub. Yeah, the hot tub was the liquor.
It was the bar for that day, yeah.
The liquor.
But yeah, it was all there. And my grandpa loved German chocolate cake, and he specifically would put it in a bowl and pour a bunch of milk over it. Which,
like a psychopath.
Yeah, I did not.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
It's like a cereal?
Yeah. I clearly did not get my stomach lining from him because I had 2 pieces of pizza yesterday. I was like, I think this is it. I think I'm wrapping up on life.
Your grandpa used to have a glass of milk before bed every night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Later in life, I think it switched to red wine. I think it might have been wine when I wasn't there. But hey, real quick, can we just take a moment to, this would be a nice thing to do. Let's take a moment right now to remember all the summer birthdays. Of kids who didn't get to have
Their
day at school.
Yeah, that was me.
My grandma's birthday, July 28th. My birthday, July 26th.
Oh,
I know exactly what he's talking about. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
These are the things you can't pick in life.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, not getting your day at school, awful. And then what do you get like a joint one in June? All the summer birthdays come together.
So what's so funny is... our daughters, they don't like to get homework on their birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know what it's like to have a summer birthday.
You don't get your birthday homework pass?
No.
You don't get to be when you're a kid?
Pass.
When you're a young kid, you don't get to be the line leader that day?
I know.
God, I love being the line leader.
Oh, the power.
Oh, my gosh. It was my first taste of power. But you
get back in line.
Yeah. I hold a teddy bear.
Don't
get in line.
Dare get in front of me.
It's my birthday. It's my birthday. I'm the line leader. I am the line leader. You understand me?
This is my day. No, I never had that.
There's poor summer kids, and half your friends are gone. So no one comes to your birthday party.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's Melissa's birthday. Do you have a pool? No. Well, there's a better party I'm going to.
I did have a sweet spot. I had about 3 years where we had an older house in a small town in Texas with a pool.
Mm-hmm.
I had 3 years of a pool. I had a summer birthday. Everyone comes to your... If you have a pool, everyone comes to your birthday party because they're like, there's a pool.
Yeah.
And...
Nobody likes you. They like your pool.
They like your pool. Our pool had lights. No, this is like a 70s pool in the 90s.
Yeah.
We had lights.
Yeah.
So at night the pool
swimming.
Was lit.
Great R&M song.
We had night a basketball swimming. Hoop. My brother was really into ping pong. We had a ping pong table.
Oh my gosh.
My dad would cut a watermelon up.
Yeah.
It was like the best moment
this is Chuck E. Cheese.
Of anyone's life.
Yeah. You guys, it's unbelievable.
So for those three summer birthdays were unhinged.
Well, I grew up in Seattle, so if you had a birthday in July, it's probably still raining. It sounds great, though.
I also had a lot of wet birthdays in Seattle.
Yeah.
So,
everybody hurts.
But,
a lot of REM references in this episode. But I feel for him.
You know, small town Texas, that was a very different vibe. And
we were responsible parents. Yeah. We were responsible parents and conceived our children in a time frame to make sure they wouldn't have a summer birthday, because that's loving your children.
It's all intentional.
It was intentional.
We got a May baby, an October baby, and a February
baby. It's unloving to your children to give them a summer birthday or to give them a December birthday.
Yeah, I would argue a December birthday is worse.
Really? Well, because you get to compete with Jesus. And it's busy.
It's the busiest holiday.
But everyone's around.
Month of the year.
Everyone's around in December until Christmas break. But like in July, they're all gone.
You're right.
Like if you're trying to throw a July birthday party in the 90s, how do you even get the word out?
What, like a envelope in the mail?
Yeah, you sent
phone call,
leaving voicemails. Hi, it's Melissa Nickerson. I just want to invite Cindy over. We're having some friends over at my house at 12 on June 23rd.
You're right.
I hope
you
can make it. Could you call back an RSVP? Because we want to know how much cake to order.
You know what's so sad is when you move. Okay, you ready?
Once again, this is Melissa Hoagland.
Salutations. When you move and then your first birthday party and you're like, please come to my party.
Oh, man. I need some friends.
You're like, what day are you free?
Yeah. I'll come to your house.
Bring your siblings.
Yeah.
I just need some people here.
I need a group. Oh, so such a sad. Anyways. All right, let's do some more. This is from Alyssa. School lunch. Hey, Dustin, Mel, and Andy. At our high school, chicken fritter day caused so much chaos. People would run down the halls, shove people out of the way because they love the chicken fritter wrap so much. I don't even know what this is. Our vice principal had to make regular announcements to those days to remind people to act right in the halls. The teachers started standing in the halls to get people's attention on those days for running, and that wasn't good. I would still eat the chicken patty if I could find it somewhere. The best part was to put lettuce, quote lettuce, iceberg lettuce on it, and some salt. The salty lettuce hit the spot. Especially we weren't allowed to have water bottles and drinking fountains were regularly broken or had gum on the spout. Teenagers are terrible. I regularly have full conversations with you guys when listening to the pod, so I was happy to contribute to this tidbit to the podcast. Good luck with the graduation stuff and college prep. Alyssa, is that like the chicken patty thing we were talking about? Chicken fritters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a big chicken nugget.
Oh, right, yeah.
I haven't heard it called a fritter, but... Is it kind of a crunch wrap?
Yeah. I think, we all know what this is. Yeah, huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Good stuff. Good. This is so funny. All right, subject is from Katie. Go Braves. Hello, Mel and Dustin. I'm an OG folk from Nateland and enjoyed your original crossover episode. So I went back and listened from the beginning of your podcast and finished earlier this year. I wanted to email you earlier this year when my Atlanta Braves were going to whip up on your San Diego Padres. But alas, we got swept in the first four games of the season and dropped the first game of the series this weekend. But the Bravos, I don't know if that was mentally, do they call them that? Bravos or Braves? Finally beat the Padres in one game, so I figured it was a perfect time to email. I enjoy the podcast a great deal. Even as a non-parent, look forward to the weekend recaps and Stranger Danger segments. Hope you will be back in Atlanta soon. And yes, the top billing of his email accurately reflects the real star of the show, 4 pounds of salmon. thanks, Katie. Thanks for being a listener. I am a Mariners fan, for what it's worth. You're welcome to Padres.
We do occasionally go to a Padres game.
It's the best. I like them more than Mariners game because I'm less invested. I've always said this.
There for the vibes.
Yeah. If people ask, we've lived here 15 years, so I go, If the Padres won a World Series, I would cheer. If the Mariners won a World Series, I would cry. That's where I'm at on an emotional level. So, anyways, 4 pounds of salmon. The salmon's better in Seattle. I don't know why. Same ocean.
It is better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is from Andrea. Subject, kindergarten brawl. Can you read this one, Mel? How do you feel about
some
public reading?
Hello. My daughter, now 13, has played basketball since kindergarten, and the worst thing I've ever witnessed was a parent from the other team threatening the 16-year-old ref at the YMCA because they weren't getting good calls, and they kept fouling a girl on our team who is really good. How bad do fouls have to be for them to be called in kindergarten? LOL. I went to get water and came back to see my dad with a cane because he had just had knee surgery.
Classic.
Between the mad parent and the ref trying to defuse the situation. This was for kindergarten. This is why schools have classes for parents to learn how to manage their emotions. Anyway, the only pod I love more than this one is my Keurig pods. LOL, I
nice
have a small
joke.
Kitchen. Take care, Andrea.
That's a great sign-up. LOL, I have a small kitchen. That is great.
Oh, man.
I said something to you yesterday, or like a couple weeks ago. It was like the most seen. I mean, that's what's like so great about a relationship is when you feel seen.
Yeah.
I had a couple recently. We'll get back to the email here. A couple recently, Joel got me a vintage flannel and like Hobbit shirt, which
vintage.
Is from the movie, which is great.
Mm-hmm. For Father's Day.
I sent my friend Paul a video about an opener he was unhappy. I knew he would be unhappy about. And I was like, can you believe that this person's opening for this person? He's a band manager. And he was like, oh my gosh, this makes me so furious. I go, I hope you feel seen in this. He goes, oh yeah, this is such a friend moment for you. And we were talking about getting an appliance recently. And I said, someone was like, we don't have the counter space anyways. And you were like, oh my God. It was one of those like, oh wow, I've been complaining to you about this. Like to preempt somebody's complaint or argument against is it's a sign of knowing somebody.
100%.
Fouls in the kindergarten league, though. I mean, you got to call them at some point. Otherwise, you might just have some kid like tackling out there because there is always like a football player that doesn't know they're a football player yet. This is the thing in youth sports is they all start in soccer and basketball and the football players don't know that they're football players yet. So they just tackle your kid. Not slide tackle. They just aggressively tackle your kid.
Yeah, I can't say I thrived in any of the sports you just mentioned, so I can't speak directly to that.
No,
yeah, but
thank God you got cut from the volleyball team. Change your whole trajectory. I mean, I could speak to this a little bit. I mean, calls.
My sisters played basketball.
Yeah,
I watched a lot of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, in the higher levels, because you do have to teach them the game. That's the tough thing about youth sports is you are trying to teach them the game and you're also trying to teach parents that it's just a game. And so there is like what you remember your last time being competitive in that sport is not what your 5-year-old's playing right now.
That's true.
They're
in
T-ball, still on the tee and then it's coach pitches and then it's a certain point and you're like, if there's going to be some close things, is that a foul? Like, you can't call travel in entry rec league basketball.
Because you would do that the whole game.
It would just be one whistle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they got to at least try and dribble here and there. I mean, none of our kids play basketball. Joel did one or two seasons, I think, and I didn't really play growing up. But the answer is how bad of a call? I would say, did it make a kid cry?
But I think basketball is one of those sports where, like, a standout player can kind of ruin the game for the other
100%.
Team because they just keep stealing.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
But I did see a thing recently, though, that I think this is meant to encourage parents to remember that standout kid oftentimes
peaks
early, which is funny because that's like a negative way to look at it. But it is to kind of maybe tell your kids, like, just keep going. It's so much of it's just about showing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, to not specialize too early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that has to do with email, but it's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, Gloria played 75 hours of basketball or volleyball this week, so we are not taking the advice in not specializing.
When I said early, I mean like before 12.
Before 12, yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's 15, she's not allowed to do anything else, so. All right, last email here. This is from Sarah. Sarah's got a few questions here. So this is subject Comedy World Questions. Hey, awesome. Dustin and Mel. Last week on the podcast, Dustin made some jokes about having to work harder for shows with comp tickets. I didn't quite understand why those shows would be more difficult. I'd love a free ticket to a comedy show. Who gets those tickets anyways? Sign me up. Okay, so this is a comedy. This is a little Dustin's Comedy Corner, but it's more of a Dustin's Comedy Club Corner ticket. Comedy Club Corner.
Sure.
So
not ticket.
Clubs give out free tickets in shows that aren't selling well.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you get those free tickets are a variety of different ways. Usually it's a mailing list. Usually you've signed up for your local comedy club's email list.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they send out a thing about when, you know,
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. Send out some con. There's also like discount tickets that people give away through their social media, stuff like that. So
it's usually like a 2-for-1 or a half price or a something.
Or just show up and do your 2-item minimum.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that kind of thing. So the reason, and the reason, Sarah, is it's not you who's showing up a lot of sometimes it is. Sometimes it is like someone who's like, oh my gosh, I got free tickets to a comedy show. This is unbelievable. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of times people who were unable to pay for a comedy ticket, were unwilling to and wouldn't go unless the show was free. And so quite literally are less invested into the show. And when you have people who are paid money to a show, particularly for an act that they want to see.
Yeah.
Not only do they know the rules, they help enforce the rules.
Yeah.
This is their night out, and they want the show to go well. And sometimes, but not always, when you have someone who just came on a free show, they don't know who you are. They don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They got a free ticket, and sometimes they're there and they're excited, and they love comedy. And other times, they just wanted something free to do, and they don't care about you, and they don't care if the show goes well.
Yeah, so like maybe they come late, or
sometimes they don't want to pay their bill either.
The drinks were free as well.
It can attract some riffraff from time to time. And not always, but sometimes.
There's a problem in their group.
Yeah. But sometimes, as Seinfeld has said, the best feeling in comedy is a group of people who didn't realize you were funny realizing you're funny. Sometimes they can be the best shows.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an opportunity to perform in front of people who have paid tickets to see you and are your fans versus a bunch of people who you're a complete unknown to and have not paid to be in the room, you know, what do you appreciate? You know, you're more likely to me, honestly, the best is both. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You want, which is like when people bring their friends to my shows, it's perfect. So, okay, go ahead.
Well, because if it's all your fans, it's kind of like preaching to the choir. Like they're going to jive with you. They're going to give you the jokes. And it does kind of take the edge off your act.
Zoltan and I were talking about this recently. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yesterday we saw him, and there is something to that idea of, like, you do, so when it's all your fans and they're already invested, you do, sometimes acts do kind of lose their killer instinct, but not always. Not always.
Yeah,
you
it's
know.
Possible.
You, yeah. Then, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay, here we go. A couple more questions on this. We saw you at the Houston Improv last summer and excited you'll be back in January. I'm curious, why will you be at the Punchline instead of the Improv? We've seen several shows at the Improv and only one at the Punchline. And do you bring an opener with you on the road? It seems like your opener last year was with you. We mostly see Nate Land comics, and often Aaron brings his opener, but Dusty does not. The situation led us to an unusual night last year. We saw Ralph Barbosa open for Dusty, and he was great. So we bought tickets to see him headline a couple months later and invited friends with us. His show was very different than the opener set we saw with Dusty. We still laughed a lot, and our friends enjoyed it as well, but the vibe was not what we expected. I'm loving your podcast. Thanks for entertaining us, backseaters. My husband and I will see you in January and on the cruise. Sarah, what a great fan. Okay, all right. So a couple questions there. Can you scroll up again, Andy? Why am I doing up one
why
paragraph?
Why am I a comic?
Yeah. I'm doing the Punchline instead of the Improv because
in Houston,
because I like both the Punchlines and Improvs, but I hadn't done that Punchline, and when it was time for me to go back to
Houston.
They had it open and available, and the booker of that is also the booker of the San Francisco Punchline, and I like the Punchlines, and I like her as a booker, and I like the Improv ones, but I had more, I mean, the Improvs, I play the other ones in Dallas, too,
yeah.
So I actually like them, but I haven't done it, and I'm curious to do it, and I think size-wise, it made some more sense. I think it kind of, the room fit me a little more, so yeah, that's why there. So, a lot of time, if you're wondering why an act played that venue, it came down to calendar availability. FYI,
yeah,
it was just like what was open.
I got this weekend open. You've got this weekend open.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Do you bring an opener with you on the road? Sometimes it just depends. It depends on the city, and it depends on my relationship with the club. Sometimes in Vegas, I didn't pick my openers.
It depends.
It depends on, it depends on how established you are.
You bring someone from LA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I am at the point now where 90% of the time I have brought an opener and it's an approved act who I think's a good fit for me and what I do. So, some people do and some people don't. And some comics really force the issue and some don't. I try and be mindful of the fact that you're building a clean show. But sometimes you don't have that power yet at clubs.
Yeah. And if the club wants to book the opener,
it's tough because one of the ways that local comics develop is through those middle spots.
Yeah.
Like those local feature spots were important for me here in San Diego.
And even, the first five, the opener.
Yeah.
That spot, usually the club wants.
Usually,
you know?
The club wants,
and,
yeah.
And it can be dicey.
Yeah, it can be dicey,
it's
yeah.
The clubs, it's
and
the
it's
club.
Part of developing comedy, and you know, but for the most part, as I'm thinking about all my dates coming up, I have someone that I'm bringing. A lot of my dates in the South, Nathan Owens, Steve Rogers is with me a lot, someone I know and have approved of. At the Northwest, I always bring Jordan. But the Ralph Dusty one is an example, great example, because I imagine Ralph worked fairly clean opening for Dusty, and I don't think Ralph's a clean comic.
His opener
is as well. So it was just different vibes. And Ralph, who's so funny and such a pro, probably just did what was best for the show. So
yeah
that does happen sometimes. So it's hard to find clean comics.
And openers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because openers get swooped up a lot. Like, I'm bringing Steve Rogers out with this weekend. You know who Steve Rogers usually opens for? Tom Papa and Brian Regan.
Fortune?
And he has his own headlining dates as well. So, when I can get his scraps, I take him. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's it. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, I want to give a special thanks to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast. That is Adam Bush,
Avril Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Carrie Teague,
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz-Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thurk.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdung.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Norman Perron. I'm sorry, Norman, you're the best. You're my favorite one.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Raina Camps.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Menya.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.